and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Racing Across America, the last Friday edition of the season. Hard to believe, man, it went fast. But a gorgeous day here at Saratoga. If you're planning to come up, you will have a wonderful afternoon. Great racing, beautiful weather. So keep your plans in mind for this Friday afternoon. Friday morning here on the show, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Jim and Tina Bond. Of course, as I said during the handicapper's report, we see them come by every morning with their horses right outside our set. And I've been saying to them all season long, we're going to have you over to talk a little bit about the operation and more. So they'll wind up the show a little bit later on. Before that, Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association will kind of give us a recap of the meet, a little look at the upcoming weekend, a little preview of Belmont as well from the Racing Association perspective. Jason Brinkman and Brian Spagnola will join us in a few minutes from America's Pastime Stables, local guys who have a racing partnership. So we thought we'd pull them in to talk a little bit about their operation. But top of the show, it's our friend John Embriel, the announcer up here at Saratoga and at all the New York Racing Association tracks. John, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Pleasure to be here. Always wanted to follow Anthony Stabile, you know? Don't know where to go with that, but we'll give it our best shot. Yeah,
that's right. Well, this makes you the headliner. He's the opening act.
Okay, we'll look at it that way, yes.
We were kind of switching shows, my colleague Anthony Mormino was talking about the old WOR days. And I said to him earlier today, because he mentioned it to me earlier, I forget who it was, but one of the guests I was talking about that, I remember that kind of helped pull me into the game, because up here in this upstate area, when we first got cable TV, WOR was one of the stations,
really?
And I remember watching that Saturday afternoon show.
That channel, that Saturday show with Frank Wright and Charles Canty and Chick Anderson, I think, first, and then Dave and then Chick Anderson, Marshall Cassidy, involved with the show. That brought in a lot of people, and that was something to look forward to. And to think about it, it was two races. It was races 8 and 9, and it was a big deal that the ninth race had a, they called it a triple back then. It wasn't even a trifecta. But that was just a big show for everybody. I know talking to Richard Migliori, he felt the same way. He got on it once. It was a big deal for him to be on the show. And I actually had a little bit of a behind-the-scenes input into the show. Frank Wright would decide he was going to do a feature on Horse X, and he'd ask me if we had any video to complement the feature, and I'd look with the help of Frank Langton in our TV truck to try to find something for Frank. But I got to know Frank pretty well, and Charles C., and wonderful people, and really just watching them work was an experience and a big help for me.
Yeah, as I say, up here upstate, that Saturday show was a big deal when cable came in and WR was there. But as Anthony said, you and Harvey Pack were teamed up for some of the shows as well.
Yeah, we did an Inside Racing, a weekly show, kind of a recap of the races, and Harvey would interview a guest. We did that Tuesday show for a long, long time, and then I would back him up on the nightly Thoroughbred Action Show, which was a recap show. But he paved the way. I mean, he really did for any of those kind of replay shows. He was the guy. And again, you learn by just observing. And the big thing for me with Harvey was, I think I remember him in maybe three interviews having any notes. because he just knew the game so well, backwards and frontwards. And I think it might have been an apprentice jockey that he didn't know at all, so he wrote that. But he could wing it off the top of his head really like nobody else. He was special with that.
And reading about him, and you know, that helped bring back the memories, but I remember the day. But reading about him when he passed fairly recently, which was really sad news for the racing industry, but as you kind of alluded to, he was really a trailblazer for everything, all the kind of TV coverage we see today.
The TV coverage, and I really wasn't a listener, but when he did Pack at the Track on the radio, he recreated races. I mean, just to have a show he couldn't use. Like, I don't know what the rules were back then. He couldn't use the real calls or whatever. So he would recreate that. He was a trailblazer with that. Then he does the nightly show. And then eventually, you know, he appeared on some of the early Breeders' Cup shows.
Yeah.
You know, so he was... You know, and we lost him. We lost Marshall. You know, so it's from that standpoint, it's been a tough year.
Yeah, absolutely. On the flip side, as far as being a good year, fans back in the stands, and they were able to see some great performances this past weekend. I lamented last year with Tis the Law and Swiss Skydiver and Gamine last year. Fans weren't able to see those. Mm-hmm. But, boy, Saturday was a fabulous day. They got to see them. I'm going to pull up the stretch run to the forego. We will watch what everybody has been talking about over the past few days since it happened. As he walked out of the track, and saw the Frenzy Fire Yaupon incident.
Right.
Take us from your perspective up in the booth as you're watching this all unfold.
Well, I thought Frenzy Fire was going to go on by. And then when he first went to take a nip out of him, like right about that first time, I kind of looked and said, did he just try to bite him? And then he kept it up, which gave me time to say something about it. But that is rare. I remember the one from the 80s where there's a famous picture in the museum, actually. But, boy, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often. But it does surprise you. And who knows? That'll be the story, right? Every time he runs now, is he gonna bite? Is he not going to bite? You know, things like that. But that added a different element that – and I spoke to a lot of people. I had some friends up here and actually my son as well. They had never seen that before. Never.
No.
It's very, very rare.
Yeah. What was most rare about it was the prolonged. Yeah. He would not give up.
No,
he was laser focused.
He had the appetizer, then he went back for the main meal and he kept going. So, but it does make for good stories.
Yeah, and you had a great call there, and as you say, pointed it out, and your surprise, I think, reflected the surprise of the crowd. Also, wanted to pull up the stretch run to the Travers because. Obviously, these are the exclamation points to any meet, and it was a ding-dong battle. And I'm guessing, as an announcer, this is what you want, as opposed to the horse pulling away by 10 lengths.
Yeah,
you want this kind of a performance.
Well, I mean, Tom Durkin always told me, you know, it's the race that makes the call. You can't fabricate something that's not there. And when you get a good stretch, like we had in the forego as well, and then you get another one like this, and, you know, Essential Quality is just a... He's just a really, really, really nice horse. We'll find out more about him when he takes on older horses in the Breeders' Cup, I assume, is the next, you know, next plan. But, you know, the crowd getting into it, you know, you've got to get into it, you know, as an announcer. But, you know, that kind of it just kind of sets it up for you without, you know, you having to worry about anything. It's right there in front of you. And you have some – we talked about this last year, I think. You have such a low perspective in the announcer's booth here at Saratoga, you know, because you're right in the press box right next door. So, you know, Aqueduct and Belmont, you know, we're way on the top of the roof here. You're right in the middle of it. You can hear the crowd. And it was, you know, 44,000 plus on Saturday. You know, they got into it. You know, it was a fun day. It really was.
And again, just after last year, it was so much fun to have folks back all season long. But Saturday was
And not
was
to take away anything
point.
From, like, Tis the Law or, you know, not take away anything from what he did last year. He did it. He had to do it in front of no fans. But it obviously a different scenario.
Yeah, no question about it. And you just alluded to it or mentioned it, but I had Tom Durkin in earlier talking about the particular obstacles the Saratoga booth presents. So, yeah, reiterate a little bit for folks who may not have heard that in the past, what the Saratoga booth is like. And as I was doing a little research last night, there was a video of you announcing that I found online where there was a camera down on the apron or maybe over in the infield, but kind of showed and zoomed into the booth, and you're looking at that big glass enclosed nice area on the top floor, and you're thinking, oh, well, that's nice. And then it zooms into the booth one floor down.
Right, I think it's the placing judges. you know, above us. But, you know, it presents some, you know, some challenges. It's, I said about the, you know, being right in the middle of everything. It's actually a little too low, the booth. Belmont happens to be too high. Aqueduct's kind of the perfect one for us. But you wanted it a little bit higher, and you wanted it a little bit back so you get an angle on the horses. They are coming right at you, yeah, when they're on the main track. And, you know, there's a pole there. And I think, maybe I'm just getting old, but I think the trees in the infield have gotten bigger, or they didn't cut them back this year. Because when they come out of the 6-furlong race on the main track, boy, they go behind those trees. For me, it's like, when are they coming out, you know? So you have those things to deal with.
Yeah, it's again, it's interesting to hear the perspective of the announcers in different venues and whatnot. You remember your first call? And were you nervous, or had you
ever
kind of practiced? Yeah.
The first call ever was for a contest that I was in back in 1979. That, up until that point, that was the most nervous I had ever been doing anything. But Marshall helped me, got me through it. It was a 9-horse race going 6 furlongs. I always forget the name of the horse. I know Jacinto Vasquez rode the winner. But I got through that, and then I started later on. I really did very little announcing, you know, for the first 5-6 years that I was there. And then I started calling a little more, and then kind of officially became Tom's backup in 1995, and called a lot of winters at Aqueduct, you know. So, but it's all worked out, and it's been a thrill to, you know, to call at all three tracks these last couple of years.
Yeah, you've done a great job. And I always say, they don't do it anymore, I'm pretty sure, but I always remember there was a couple of years where down in Maryland they had a press day, and it was always very funny. They'd bring in the local press people that each got to call a race.
Oh, really?
So there'd be 9 people, and you could pull it up on YouTube, and you could tell the night before they would have practiced. So about the first 1/8 of a mile, oh, they nailed it.
They
and
got
then,
it, right?
Then it all fell apart. And I thought, I can see where that
you can only script so much, you know. And well, that's the thing. I mean, you just hope, even as if you're going to try to handicap a little bit, and I do very little of that because I'm not a good handicapper anyway, but you know, you can plan that, you know, the 2 is going to come out, he shows speed all the time, and then they open those gates and he doesn't show speed, and then the whole race, you know, the whole race,
yeah,
changes. So one of the biggest fears that we have, and it happened last week, and a race started directly across from me, a horse refused. Well, you can't, if he doesn't come out,
yeah, yeah,
and you don't have an angle on it, you can't see that he didn't come out.
Yeah, yeah.
Next thing I know, he eventually did come out without the jockey, and you say lose horse, but I didn't realize that, you know, he didn't want to run that day.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, you just hope you get through whatever situations come up.
Yeah, certainly some of the obstacles that an announcer has to go through. But as I say, you've done a great job at the New York tracks over the past couple of years. A great job up here, obviously, at Saratoga this season, highlighted by the weekend and some big races still to come. So
right, exactly. You never know what's going to happen with the 2-year-olds, you know, the Spinaway and the Hopeful, and obviously, you know, some many races, in fact, because starting tomorrow, we've got the 12 on Saturday, 12 on Sunday. I just hope they don't run 14 on Monday, which I think they did last year.
I'll take 12.
We'll see what they draw today. They draw today for closing.
Do you have a favorite kind of a race to call?
And again, different tracks and everything, those mile and a 16th races on the inner turf, they start right in front, you get them right away, and then you get them, you know, you get them for a distance of ground. I kind of like those. The other ones, like I said, you might lose them, you know, going behind trees and stuff like that. But those mile and a 16th on the inner turf, miles, probably my favorites to call, you know.
So. And I got to ask before I let you go, it's today's 8th race. There's workout and great workout. Does that present kind of
a little more concentration, I guess, and maybe one will scratch. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, there's been a few like that, you know, where you just got to pay a little bit more attention than you normally do, and you kind of hope, although the race is going to develop the way it develops, you kind of hope they're not together.
Yeah.
You hope it's workout over here and great workout in the back, and you know, and then you go from there.
Yeah, John, as I say, great job. Everybody appreciates the work you do and the great calls you give, and been doing great work up here at Saratoga all season. Appreciate the visit this morning.
Thank you very much, Seth. And remember what I think I've only told this to Beal. Remember the 3 most important words in horse racing. Fast and firm. Isn't everything great when it's fast and firm?
I think
when we're off the turf, all heck breaks loose. Fast and firm, we are golden. Right?
I like that. That's that's my new philosophy.
And we're fast and firm today, I believe.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. No, I've read it earlier on the turf today, so we like that.
Okay,
so
keep it fast and firm. Yeah, it takes care of a lot of the issues.
Three most important words in horse racing. John Embriel, we'll take a break when we come back. America's Pastime Racing. We'll talk a little bit about the local partnership. All of that when we continue.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, local partnership. Always like to get some of the partnerships in during the meet to let people who may be interested in that type of thing know. And one of the local partnerships is America's Pastime. They have the Fun Silks. We'll show those in a couple of minutes as well. But it's Jason Brinkman and Brian Spagnola from America's Pastime Stables. Good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
happy to have you on board, as they say, to talk a little bit about the partnership and whatnot. And Jason, why don't we start with you? Talk a little bit about when the partnership was formed and how it all got together.
Sure. So we started about 2 years ago. This was something that Brian had in the making for quite some time, and he did a lot of research behind the scenes and, kind of figuring out exactly how he wanted to, get the stable set up. And you mentioned the Silks, and I'll let him talk about that. He was, he sat at home I'll let him share that side of the story, because it's kind of fun and and stuff, how he came up with the silks. But anyway, you know, we started about 2 years ago and got it off the ground and running, and, you know, have quickly grown over the last couple of years. And, you know, we're now here we are today, Saratoga, and looking forward to closing out the meet on a high note.
Very good. Brian, give us a little bit of the philosophy of the partnership.
Yeah, so it's something we've owned horses, you know, me and my family and my friends for many years. And something I always wanted to do is kind of do our own partnership group, because I know, you know, thoroughbred racing, obviously, people think is a rich man's game, and there's a lot of people who have passion for it. So, I don't know, a few years ago, maybe four years ago, we started the process and talking about it. And I think it was 2018, the winter, we kind of came up with it. And we're baseball guys by trade. That's what we do. So trying to come up with a name, and, you know, nothing America's Pastime certainly made sense. So myself and my son, we were sitting, like a lot of businesses were started on napkins and a piece of paper at the dinner table, and, you know, making some cross bats and trying to come up with some logos. And a guy, John Sargalis, who works for me with the Amsterdam Mohawks, he's our graphics guy. I sent him some stuff, and he sent the silks back, and, you know, a few months later we registered them, and, you know, I started putting just some Facebook posts out to friends, and you know, we started, and you know, we got rolling with that and got everything registered. And Jason come along with us a few months later, and, you know, right before we started everything, and we kind of just business planned the whole thing, and we've kind of erupted on the scene. So
yeah, the baseball silks, very distinctive. Easy to pick out on the racetrack, and fun to kind of root for as well. You guys are both Amsterdam guys, right?
I'm Amsterdam. Jason's a Gilderland guy in Saratoga now.
Local. Being an Amsterdam guy myself, I like the Amsterdam connection. Mohawks, you went over in Shuttleworth Park, right?
Yeah. So, well, that's how me and Jason know each other. From he runs the Albany Dutchman, I run the Amsterdam Mohawks. So we have a connection through baseball, and you know, we're talking baseball, and we both knew that we had some things for horses. So I said, hey, Jason, this is something we're doing here, and we kind of teamed up on this. And, you know, we have a great team together. We have a management group who all work great together, and we have our own roles, and it's really gone really well.
And if people are interested, americaspastimestables.com, you have a really nice website as well. People can keep up with the horses, find out more information there. Wanted to pull up in the meantime. You had a runner yesterday that I thought top of the stretch might get it done. Subiaco was in yesterday. Going to wind up second to a short price favorite in an off-the-turf event. But this had to be kind of exciting. You're down there on the rail with the distinctive silks. Top of the stretch, as I said, thought you might get a little bit of an upset there. But then the short price favorite gets by you. But it was a nice performance.
Yeah, it was really a good performance. I mean, we brought in Sylvester Gonzalez from out of town, from Parks, for the mount. He was actually just in town to ride that one mount for us. And, you know, we were just the second best horse yesterday, but I thought, you know, he gave the horse a great ride, and we were certainly happy to pick up the second place finish. So,
yeah, no, as I said, it was a nice run given the situation that the winner was a short price favorite and looked good given the situation yesterday. But you put up a nice fight there at the top of the stretch. Are we going to look forward to America's Pastime with some runners the last few days of the meet?
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. I mean, we've got runners here. Today we've got one in the fifth race, Debo. Thanks for the I saw the second place selection. Hopefully we outdo you a little bit there and pick up the win. But, yeah, we've got Debo in today. And then we've got a couple other runners Sunday and maybe even two on Monday. So hopefully we'll end things on a high note.
Excellent. And talk a little bit, Brian, about the record of the partnership so far in the career.
Yeah, so we started out, I think it was March 2019, and we got our first win about a month later, and we've really grown. We've grown to over 100 partners, we do fractional partnerships, so that's kind of what we do. 3% shares, but we have a good situation because our trainers they buy 50% of every horse. So it's a unique situation where, you know, we're not the only partners. So we, you know, when we go to claim horses, they're very careful. They don't just throw our money around, because you're using half of their money as well. So it's been a great partnership. But we won five races here last year at Saratoga. It was a huge show. No fans, but it was a good thrill. And we've won races here this year as well. So we're growing and doing well. We have a good winning percentage, probably close to 20%, I'd say. We're always looking to expand.
What is the philosophy as far as acquiring horses? Is it mostly a claiming game?
So right now we mostly claim. We have some babies, and we've partnered with the McMahon Thoroughbreds of Saratoga. So we have some breeding stock as well. And we do have some yearlings and two-year-olds that we've purchased. But right now, we mostly claim. But we're, you know, like I said, we're always looking to expand. And honestly, our people always ask us, what's our philosophy in claiming? And we're smart enough to know that our trainers know a lot more than we do. So we sit on the sideline and let them do their thing. They're super successful. So we keep our mouth shut, and we're smart enough to listen to people who are smarter than us.
Very good. Jason, which trainers do you use?
We use mainly Merktan Kanamasi, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the horse that was much the best yesterday in that first race was also a horse that Merktan has in training. So it was nice to see them finish 1-2, and he actually had two wins yesterday. So he's been having some great success up here, and hopefully we continue with him here the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, it's always good to have a guy who's on a little bit of a roll, and certainly as I mentioned, the website, americaspastimestables.com, people can find out more information there. But I'm assuming if folks are over on the front side over the next few days and see either of you guys, they can inquire about maybe jumping in.
Absolutely. We always love meeting new people, talking to people. So, yeah, if anyone sees us over there, certainly feel free to stop over and say hi.
And beginning of the day yesterday, I ran into a guy I went to grade school with, and he was in on Subiaco.
Oh, is that right?
Amsterdam guy. So I know there are some locals involved, and I always like to root for the locals. And so when I see the America's Pastime now, I certainly will mention that because there are, you know, West Point has some locals involved. Brilliant racing for Joe Christofek. He hasn't had any runners up here, but he has some locals involved as well, our friends at Bonaventure Stables. There are plenty of opportunities. And Brian, I'll ask you, if you're talking to people about getting into the game and being involved in partnerships, do you alert them to there are all kinds of levels? Do a little research and see if America's Pastime is the game plan for you, because there are all different levels and all different philosophies.
Yeah.
And I think people do have to do a little bit of research.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's a lot of groups out there. I mean, you mentioned a lot of them. What we pride ourselves in is we're super transparent, and our communication, we think, is second to none. You know, sometimes Jason will say, geez, are we getting a hold of people too much? So we have like text systems, and I talk to some people on the phone, and we want to make sure that they really feel like they own the horse. It's not just us doing it, and, you know, we'll give you some information here and there. So I think that's where we pride ourselves on. But we like what we do right now for local people with the claiming game, because you claim a horse and 2 weeks later you're running. You know, when you buy a yearling, you got to have some patience. You know, you're waiting a year, sometimes two, to run, and it's, you know, you kind of, by then you might lose what you want. So we like what we do, but we like to, you know, dabble as well. But I think what we do is good for, you know, just a regular guy who wants to get involved.
Absolutely. And again, America's Pastime Stables. com. Jason Brinkman, Brian Spagnola, appreciate the visit. Good luck the remainder of the meet. As I say, I always like to root for the locals, and hopefully we'll pull some new people into the game on the ownership side as well.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much having us on this morning.
Happy to do it. And as I say, good luck on the meet. We'll take a break. When we come back, Pat McKenna from the New York Racing Association, a little recap, a little look ahead as well. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Turf, 14 of them across the track. Set on their way. And of the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be Stockton but running on now. And Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop shopping. Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Away they go.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. As stated earlier, the last Friday of the Saratoga meet. We had him in earlier. We were talking off the air. We think it was the first Friday of the meet. But kind of previewing, now we will review with Pat McKenna from the Communications Department at the New York Racing Association. Pat, good morning.
Morning, Seth.
And as I say,
how time flies.
We previewed, now we review. And yeah, you're right, how time does fly. But just from the New York Racing Association perspective, before we go into specifics, just give us kind of the overview of how you think the last, seven-plus weeks have played out.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a meet that will long be remembered for the return of fans after the absence in 2020. You know, I remember opening day, feels like 2 hours ago, not 8 weeks ago. But to see fans back, right where they belong, in the backyard, on the apron, throughout this grand facility, I think is what we are all looking for and planning towards for the better part of a year, ever since we left Saratoga in 2020. This pandemic has been so unpredictable at almost every stage. Felt like we were completely past it in July. Doesn't feel quite like that now, but I think NYRA as an organization is as experienced as anyone in the country in terms of managing our way through each variation and each challenge that this pandemic has brought. But here at Saratoga, I think people quickly recognize that that this felt familiar. This felt not like nothing like obviously 2020, but it felt like Saratoga 2019 and before. And that's what people were yearning for and seeking out. And I think that's why you saw the incredible enthusiasm, the energy from opening day on through. And then it certainly feels like Travers Day was a high watermark in terms of excitement, the enthusiasm. It's the best Travers Day that I've ever seen. I've been in this job in 6 years, attended too many Travers to count before that, having growing up in Albany. And I can't remember a better race day when all these heavyweights not only showed up, but ran their best on the biggest stage in the sport, as far as I'm concerned. On a Saturday afternoon at Saratoga, thought the energy in the facility was incredible. You know, I heard people that were, you know, down on Fifth Avenue on Nelson, sort of turning around, thinking, "Wow, what's happening?" And what was happening was the best racing in America. It's great to see the governor here, sitting in the front row, watching the Travers. Learned that she was actually here on the property in 2015. Watched American Pharoah. Yeah, she came out in 2015. Nice. And also about 6 weeks ago, July 27th, I think it was, she actually toured the barn area, the backstretch. So symbolism is important. And it, I think it was great for the racing industry, for the sport, for its fans, to see the new governor, having just made history herself, 5 days into the job, show up at Saratoga, spend time watching racing. She was eager to get to the paddock, which she did. And listen, I think all in all, that was one of the better days that certainly in recent memory.
Yeah, and that video we just saw was some video I shot on Traverse Day of, you know, the apron crowd, the good crowd that you alluded to. And it was great to see the governor here, the brand new governor, who I'm sure has plenty on her plate.
Yeah.
But she made time to come up and watch the Traverse. Fun to know that she was here for American Pharoah as well. Let's talk a little bit about the meet overall.
Sure.
With something we talked about on that first Friday, there were some new venues, and I think we have some shots here. The verandas at the top of the stretch. The stretch area itself was expanded a little bit. I think we also have just some shots of the backyard in general with fans being back there. But it seems like the new venues, the expanded stretch and whatnot, the picnic area on the clubhouse turn, it seems like everything was pretty well received.
Yeah, I think so. And these are areas, I mean, people have been accustomed to their particular spots on track for decades, for generations. So, you know, these areas grow in popularity. They're not necessarily an overnight sensation, but as people discover them, especially an area like the Spa Verandas, I was down there for the first time last week. You know, what a great spot if you're going to have an after-wedding breakfast, 30 or 40 people. It's affordable when you break it down by person, and there's tons of different kinds of options. So great picture of the backyard there. I think the new areas were well received. Listen, the business of Saratoga and the summer meet has never been better. And, you know, that's reflected in the record-breaking handle.
Talk about the handle, because when you guys tweeted out that number the other day,
yeah,
it was an amazing number, over $700,000. But what was amazing, it happened Sunday or Wednesday. Whenever it happened, there was still essentially a week of racing left.
It happened Wednesday. We hit that $700 million mark for the first time in 2019, again in 2020, despite the absence of fans. And then on Wednesday, we eclipsed the all-time record, about the fifth or sixth race on Wednesday with five racing days to go. Pretty remarkable, and the reason we talk about it is not because of what it means to NARA's bottom line, but more importantly, what it means to the purse account, to the hundreds of small businesses that rely on a robust purse account to run their business, the trainers that you have on air all the time, New York's trainers, the entire Thoroughbred ecosystem is reliant on those wagering dollars. So NARA is unique in that we're a nonprofit committed to putting that money directly back into the facility, directly into the purse account. You know, I often hear criticism on Twitter and other places that we're somehow tooting our horn about, you know, publicizing these wagering dollars. Quite the contrary, the reason why we do it is to demonstrate the popularity of the sport in New York, to demonstrate the quality of the racing here at Saratoga or at Belmont Park or at Aqueduct, because frankly, that is the best barometer of high quality racing, interesting big fields, dynamic opportunities for bettors. So you know, that handle number is again something we're proud of, not because of what it means to NYRA, but what it means to horsemen, to small businesses, to the 19,000 jobs and $3 billion in economic impact that the sport's responsible for year in, year out. Beyond that, we'll do a million plus in attendance for the sixth consecutive season, which 10 years ago was a huge headline, but now...
Sixth consecutive season with an asterisk.
Take out last year. I'd love to know the attendance last year with that limited number of owners, but... again, you know, $50 million on Traverse Day is now almost expected, where 3 years ago it was unheard of. So, you know, it's incredible that this meet continues to grow, to expand, that the interest and enthusiasm in betting Saratoga, you know, continues to grow. It's humbling, and, you know, this place stands apart as the greatest racing venue in the world.
Yeah, and reflected by Saturday, and you've already mentioned what a great day of racing it was, and I will reiterate, we probably showed the Friends I Fire Yelp on replay about 12 times already over the past couple of days, but that's everything. Only the only thing people were really buzzing about on Saturday night was they were laser focused on that event because it's just so crazy. But then the Travers with essential quality, and I think I'm guessing with the Latruska and maybe Gamin, certainly essential quality. You thought you saw three champions on Saturday.
Without a doubt,
Nadia beat that.
Yep.
It was just an absolutely great day of racing, kind of an exclamation point typically on the season, but now this last week is always very fun too with great racing, and it's a fan appreciation week. Talk a little bit about what people can expect over the next few days as we wrap things up.
Yeah, I think most folks are probably looking forward to Sunday's final giveaway. It's a long sleeve t-shirt hoodie. It's a mouthful, but I think I got it right. we have, those are relatively limited quantity just because of, believe it or not, I may have mentioned before, the global shipping supply issues and the whole mess that's been created by COVID. But, get here early. We'd encourage folks to just grab one for yourself and leave as many as possible for your friends and neighbors and fellow racing fans. But that'll be great. A number of things on deck to honor the fans this week. This entire meet has been about, appreciating the return of our fans. None of this is possible without the horse player, without the fan, without the horsemen who are working day in, day out, up at 3 a.m. and probably not home until the dark of night just because of the nature of these lengthy cards. So, it's an honor to be able to work here in these jobs. And certainly know in the press office we feel that each and every day to be able to be out there talking to trainers, talking to horsemen, talking to the folks that make all this possible. In retrospect, it's always, there's always a bit of nostalgia with the closing of the meet. It's an incredibly long run and intense, but again, it's an honor to be able to be up here.
Yeah, and you guys in the press office have done a great job. It's still, last year was very challenging. This year still had its challenges, but you've done a great job keeping folks informed and kind of getting things together when, folks are in the winner's circle after big races and whatnot. So a great job to you and your staff, too. Congratulations on a nice meet on the press side of things. A couple of things I wanted to touch on that I read when I was actually pulling up some of the press last night. The 1863 Club going to be available for off-season events this year. I thought that was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, it is. We opened that building in 2019. It's amazing to think when you look at it. Started construction in 2018 as soon as the meet was over, and it was ready for the following year's meet, which is, Glenn and his team and everyone who was working on that building. That's quite an accomplishment. But, it was always in, I think, the back of our minds that this is an appropriate place to do events in the off season. I think everyone that works at NYRA has at some point come across someone, a friend, a relative who has said, I'd love to do an event, love to do a wedding, love to do something. This place is absolutely spectacular in the fall. I think it's a really interesting venue for maybe a business, a small business, a big business, to have a Christmas party, overlooking the infield with maybe some snow on the ground. So a world of possibilities. Made that announcement yesterday. Mazone will be handling the front end of things, Mazone Catering. They obviously have deep experience up here in the Capital Region throughout the area. So that's a great thing. Go to NYRA.com if you're interested in learning more about it. We can certainly tailor events to the size of the group that'll be interested. So we expect there'll be pretty robust interest among folks looking to get married in September, October, and beyond.
Yeah, as I say, that was an interesting announcement because it has been well received as a new venue on the track that fits right in. And certainly an upgrade from that tent that was there for years and years, but it fits right in with the whole architecture and whatnot. But it's a great facility. If you haven't been over, take advantage of the buffet. Maybe do that this weekend.
There you go.
Because it is a great spot to watch the races too. You got glass enclosed, but you can step out in front also. Before we let you go, Pat, just want to remind people, obviously, enjoy the next 4 days up here. Great racing up here still to come. But at Belmont, a little bit of a break. That's kind of become the way to go now over the past season. And now it looks like it's going to be more of a norm, a little bit of a 10-day break to give everybody a breather before we come back to Belmont. Opening day, Belmont, Thursday, September 16th.
That's right. That break, which we put in place last year, partly due to COVID, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Give the horses a break, give the humans a break.
Yeah.
Catch your breath after this meet. And really, it starts in April with the opening of the Belmont Spring Summer Meet. That's a sprint through the Belmont Stakes into Saratoga. So I think a lot of people are looking forward to this break. You know, talking to the equine medical director of New York State, Dr. Scott Palmer, over the years, it's a great opportunity for, you know, for horses to get settled back down at Belmont, to reacclimate to that surface, to the training facility, the main track. So it makes sense on a number of levels. We'll draw Thursday, I believe, next Monday, Friday, the day after that. So we'll be right back after it a week from Thursday at beautiful Belmont Park.
Yeah, very good. And again, congratulations to you, Dave O'Rourke, who heads the New York Racing Association. Congratulations. Shouldn't leave without mentioning also the Fox show has done great work again this year. I've said it a number of times. I don't think that they just promote the New York product, but I think they help promote the sport in general,
yeah,
that Fox show. And so that's been a great addition as well.
Yeah, really important. And again, it's something that, you know, this kind of enterprise doesn't, you don't flip the switch and overnight people know where it is. I mean, it's a lot of hard work on the TV department, marketing, promoting it through earned media, wherever we can. But now 6 years into that partnership, I think most people across the country who are tuning in know exactly where to go to catch the Fox show, to catch Saratoga Live, and then in the fall we'll pick up with America's Day the Races.
Yeah, I had two sisters, one in Arkansas and one in Rhode Island, text me on Traverse Day saying, hey, we're watching the Traverse. So
yep.
It's working, it's magic. Pat, appreciate the visit, and again, congratulations to you and everybody at the New York Racing Association on yet another great Saratoga season, and good luck on Belmont as well.
Appreciate it.
Pat McKenna from NYRA. We will take a break. When we come back, Jim and Tina Bond from Bond Racing. They'll wrap it up on this Friday morning. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pennell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pennell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Friday morning. As promised before the break, we are joined now by Jim and Tina Bond from Bond Racing and More. Good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Thanks for jumping on. I've been saying all meet long we'd have you on, and I said during the handicapping show, I have to have you on because I feel like we're neighbors. I feel like in the morning I walk out, I grab my newspaper from the front lawn, you guys are driving to work waving from the waving from the cart. And so I thought we'd definitely have to have you on. And for folks who aren't familiar with the setup here, we're just inside the backstretch gate, and you folks walk your horses in from your Gridley Avenue barn and zip by on the cart for workouts every morning. And Tina, I'll ask you to to jump in first and talk a little bit about the operation. And you're down the street at Gridley, but it's a family operation. We'll talk also about your farm out in Stillwater, but talk about the family being involved. You and your husband, obviously, and your two sons.
Yep. It's all four of us. And both boys went to college, got great degrees, and they decided they wanted to come back to the industry. So we all work very well together. They're his assistant trainers. So they work tightly together, and I just kind of hold the rest of it up as best I can.
Jim, talk a little bit about your sons now. Obviously, up here, you're all involved, but when I watch the races down in New York, Aqueduct and Belmont, seems like your sons are based down there during part of the year.
They are. They're in the summer or up till Saratoga. In the winter, Kevin and Ryan both, you know, kind of share the opportunity. Dad stays here and tends to the farm and the young horses, and I'll come in for the occasional week or so just to say hello, so, and cause trouble.
Talk a little bit about your facility down the street and how that works out for you all year long.
It's just, you know, we have a 40 stall barn, and it's just heaven. We're here from about the third week of April, weather permitting, till November 1st. And like I say, we just, Naira's very kind. They let us use the main track to jog across to get to the Oklahoma track, and it's good for the horses. We kind of jog some horses on the back here, you know, after races. They've come out of races out of New York. We put them under the trees and give them a little bit of soft time for a few days. And, you know, everyone knows Saratoga is just heaven, and it's heaven for trainers and heaven for horses, and probably a lot of owners too.
I talk to people a lot about working back here on Clear Court, and it seems like everybody agrees that this is a different atmosphere, and it's as much mental as physical out here.
That's exactly what it is. It just kind of clears a horse's mind, gets them back to, like, being on the farm kind of like thing, just a, you know, a little easy in the everyday pressure.
Always like to, when I get folks in here, and we do it multiple times when we have people multiple times, so you may be repeating yourself, but I think we get a lot of new viewers that jump in during the Saratoga meet. So, Jim, give us a little bit of your background and how you got in. And you really started out in Finger Lakes, right?
I came from the Finger Lakes area. My dad trained horses out there. And I cut my teeth out there, and with a lot of David Donk was there in the early years, and you know, of course, Chris Englehart, Jeremiah, you know, we all came from that direction, and some other great horsemen. And like I say, it was a great preschool, I guess you would say. And you know, when I came to New York, we were very fortunate. Clients kept coming, and we've been here 37 years this year.
Yeah, nice. And Tina, how'd you get into the game? Were you in the game before you got married?
No. Absolutely not.
Welcome to horse racing.
I worked for Eastman Kodak and retired from there. He asked me to come and work for him. I think it was in 1996. So I thought it was going to be an easy job, and I could go to lunch and go shopping. And I work harder now than I ever did. So, but it's wonderful. It's a life. It's just a different lifestyle is what it is, and it's wonderful.
So this goes back, obviously, to the Finger Lakes days, Eastman Kodak being out in Rochester, and very good. Pulled up some video from the website, and I certainly advise people to go check out the website and learn more about Bond Racing and Song Hill Farm, but I wanted to show you, I have some great video of Song Hill Farm, and so we'll show that, and I'll let you guys talk a little bit about your facility. It's kind of right around the corner, the south end of the lake, out in Stillwater Way. Jim, talk a little bit about Song Hill and what goes on there.
Well, that's a breeding facility, breaking facility. We break a lot of young horses there. We have about 40 mares a year we foal. And then we have urocizers for giving horses a rest. And, you know, basically just the turf horses go there in the end of November and rest. And then we start them back up and hopefully have them ready for the turf in April or May. And like I say, it's a great facility. We have, you know, just great help, and, you know, we're breeding to some pretty nice mares. We have a lot of Mendelsons this year coming up, Bolt d'Oros, mares in fold, Omaha Beach, Vina Rosa. So, you know, we stepped up the breeding in the New York program. It's just a fantastic program, and we're just lucky to be here in Saratoga and have the farm next door, and it complements the racing stable because you can give a horse a rest when you need to.
Yeah, we've had a few people in last Friday. On the New York Showcase Day, we had Nigel Thompson in talking about, from the New York Breeders, talking about the New York Bred program, but reiterate that because, and I think a lot of people, I talked about it on Friday, I think a lot of people, Aaron Yagoda, I had him in and we talked about it with him, Tom Mina, I had him in as well, being a New York breeder. I think a lot of people don't realize if you sell a horse, you're still very interested in watching him run because you can. If you bred him, you're still collecting a little bit of New York bred money.
Yeah, it's a great program. It is the greatest program because you get annuities after one is sold or claimed. Even if it goes to the Finger Lakes, believe it or not, we still get these checks. They're not as big, but they're pretty good checks. Okay, and you can almost sell a horse for a little less, hoping that he gets in the right hands, and you know you reap the rewards. And it's been fabulous for us, and you know we just kind of keep reinventing it and putting it back into a little better stallions. Hopefully that you know we can, you know, hopefully win a grade one or a grade two with one of these homebreds. We did have a grade one winner off the farm this year, Varda. Okay, she went out in California for Baffert.
Oh,
okay,
nice.
And that was, you know, bred and raised on the farm, so which we're proud of. And yeah, like I say, we're pretty fortunate.
Excellent. Tita, talk a little bit about if folks want to get involved in the game, bond racing, the partnership, all year long. We had the America's Pastime folks in here a little bit earlier. We talked to the folks at Bonaventure. There are all kinds of different levels and different philosophies. If people are thinking about maybe getting into the game, what does bond racing offer?
We're structured differently. We retain 50% of every horse. So we sell 5 shares of 10%. That's it. It's a little bit more boutique-ish so that each horse only has a certain amount, so everybody can come in the paddock.
Yeah.
Everybody gets in the winner's circle. And I think a lot of people like that. They hear directly from the trainer. There's no racing manager. There's no management fees, which means we don't charge any management to run the partnership. So they're equal partners with me, and I have people from all over the country. It's just wonderful. California, Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Michigan. It's just great. It's just really great. And they're all so much fun. They're having a great time.
And I'm sure that amplifies up here at Saratoga because I talk to the partnership people and everybody says up here at Saratoga is great because people maybe come back to the backstretch. But as you say, get into the paddock and, man, if they get into the winner's circle, you see those partnership groups, they're ecstatic.
Absolutely.
But nothing like a win at Saratoga. Speaking of wins at Saratoga, let's pull up a couple of wins from Jim Bond trainees. Let's go back just last week on that New York Showcase Day. We'll see Giacosa getting it done as the number 4 horse in here. Jim, go back and reflect a little bit on the win in the Yaddo with Giacosa.
This filly was telegraphing, okay, that she was going to run big. And, you know, Luisa had ridden her 3 times, I think, at Belmont. And she gets lost a little bit at Belmont. And, boy, I mean, she just was, her and Rinaldi were working together for this race. And she was just, I mean, really pouring it on in the morning. So I was very excited. And she ran her race, and she's pretty nice filly.
And any plans next? I mean, what's nice about these good New York breds, you have plenty of options with them. Anything planned?
She ran twice at Saratoga, so I'm going to give her just a little bit of a tiny break here and try to focus in on the end of October. Then there's another New York bred race, and then we'll see if we should venture out of that or not. But, you know, one day at a time, as they say.
And somebody asked you in the winner's circle, and I am not a wine drinker, but somebody said, was that a wine reference? Giacosa is a wine reference?
She is. We name all of them after Italian red wines. We've been lucky since Ruffino with this, so we're not changing course.
Ruffino, yeah.
And I will ask you about in the 6th race today, Fanta Freda. I'm assuming that's
it is.
Also. and as a first-time starter, I'll ask what you expect from that one today.
I think she's a nice filly. She's been training very forwardly, you know, and you know she's got a couple half brothers and sisters that have run pretty good, but this one here, I kind of like her a little bit, and you know you got to get the trip on the turf and break well. And you know, the great news, I got Luis on her, and Saez is just, you know, he's our man. He just rides hard for us. And
he's everybody's man.
He is. He's.
I have to ask now, do you have to sample before you name after?
Of course.
I thought that was probably the answer. Want to also go back and look at, because you've mentioned it before, graded winners and New York breds that went outside, as I say, that gives you a lot of options. Early in the meet, Rinaldi wins on the front end in the Forbidden Apple, and this was a pretty good way to start out the meet because, as I say, you have a New York bred that wins in open company. That then lends itself to all kinds of opportunities. But give me your thoughts here because, as I say, this was all the way around, had the lead, and then the stretch kind of extends a little bit as well. Your thoughts on Rinaldi and the Forbidden Apple?
He's just a handy horse. This horse, you know, 2 turns is his really go. He just really... he handles 2 turns. He kind of sneaks away from horses on the turns, and he's just a fantastic horse to train. And like I say, he had a little bad luck in the last stake, but like I say, he'll make amends. He's a really fine horse to train and just shows up just about every time.
Any plans for him?
Well, I'm going to put him away for just a little bit. Okay. It was a pretty tough race the other day. On him. So.
All right, so we'll look for those two going forward. But, again, the first-time starter today in race number six and beyond. So we appreciate the visit. Congratulations on a couple of nice stakes wins that we took a look at. Good luck on the weekend ahead. And if folks are interested in maybe exploring a little bit on bond racing and becoming involved, go to the website, I'm assuming, or if they see either of you at the track, they can ask, correct?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So keep that in mind. That's a way to get involved in racing. And again, whether you own 50 or 100% of the horse or you've got a share, it's just as exciting in the winner's circle.
Amazing.
It's thrilling.
Jim and Tina Bond, again, we see them every morning here from our TV set as they come up from the Gridley Avenue barn. And so wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about the season. Congratulations so far. Good luck on the weekend ahead.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We will wrap it up, actually, because I think we've taken enough breaks here. So we'll wrap it up on a Friday morning. Tell me again. Oh, yeah. We are good. So we will wrap it up on a Friday morning here, Racing Across America. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, we start at 9, Handicapper Support, 10 a.m. with Racing Across America. We have the Steve Asmussen interview tomorrow. Make sure you tune in for that at 10 o'clock for Racing Across America. But we'll wrap it up now on a gorgeous Friday up here at Saratoga. So if you're planning to come, you will have a fabulous afternoon. Wish you a lot of good luck. And again, we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Handicapper Support.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.